Now, that you see, when you repeat something again and again, in itself, it doesn't have a meaning. But until you see results in a prayer you are praying, you cannot stop praying. Even if you have to use the same words again. Just bear what I'm saying in mind. That's why Jesus told them that this man will answer his friend because of his persistence, saying the same thing, lend me 3 loaves. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Now, we're talking about prayer for the nation. That's why I'm trying to get this thing across to us. Because until you see results in the thing you are praying about, you will continue to say the same things. He said, knock and the door shall be open. That is, you tap once, you don't get the door open. You tap again. You don't change the tune of your knock, but you just keep on knocking on that door until the door is opened. Do you follow the point I'm making? And when he told the disciples, and when the disciples said, teach us to pray, I told I was listening to a man of God, and he said that what happened was that the way it was John the Baptist, his disciples had a pattern of prayer they used to pray. There were things they used to pray about, so that if somebody is praying, you know this is a disciple of John. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The disciples of John, they had the focus. Get my point? They were praying for certain things, most likely for the restoration of Jerusalem or for the coming of the Messiah. Or in fact, the two of them tied together. So when they go to pray, every day they will pray and say a word. You know, the other day I was preaching in church and I told them that it's Independence Day. That if I ever become a senator or an influential person, I would demand that I will set into motion a process for adding a clause into Nigeria's national anthem which says, God bless Nigeria. Americans have it, God bless America. Every great kingdom you have seen on the earth tend to have that word in the mouth of everybody. Long live the queen. Long live the king. In those days, you'll see Daniel, when he'll come before Nebuchadnezzar, he will make a statement. He said, live long, O king. Are you understanding my point? That is a constant prayer for the long life of the king. You don't have to use different words. It's just saying the same thing. But you see, why would somebody keep praying about the same matter? I told you before that Daniel was here the first day, but he remained in the place of prayer until the answer arrived. Now, he did not know there was a delay. He didn't know he had been heard. Okay? But we know he was heard because the angel told him when he finally arrived. But that if he had left, let's say, before that day that the angel arrived, will he have met Daniel? Would the angel still have come? I am persuaded, no, the angel would have had to return. Because Daniel departing from the place of his prayer is that he has given up and is no longer expecting. And that's why watchmen must be people of passion and people of what? Faith. Remember what he said. He said, let's go back to it. Isaiah chapter 62. All right. The job of the watchman. He said, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. Are you noticing that word? They will never keep silent. He said, you watchmen who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest. For how long? For how long? For how long? Until you have seen it demonstrated that Jerusalem has been established as a place on the earth. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Now, when we read the other time from Isaiah 56, I said one of the things about watchmen is that they must what? See. Let's come down practical now. I've been trying to get down to this particular level. Derek Prince said something that, now, I learned this, in fact, the thoughts along this line was stirred up when I heard the reference. I listened to this on tape before I went to read that portion in this book, all right? I listened to it on tape. Now, and one of the things I learned from the reference was the fact that he said that God will give him a short prayer, okay? And he will continue to pray that prayer. I have explained that it is not every repetition that is meaningless. Repetitions born out of faith and out of passion is not meaningless. The man keeps repeating because of the perseverance that Jesus taught. That listen, even if the guy didn't want to do it, the fact that you will not leave the place will ensure he does it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Watchmen, he said, don't give yourselves any rest until you have seen Jerusalem established as a place on the earth. What am I saying? Now, let me just read a few of those examples maybe to help me get into what I want to say exactly. The reckoning described a story. In fact, if you read the book, in fact, the chapter is titled Seeing History Shaped Through Prayer. Now, let me read the first line. He said, for me, the power of prayer to shape history is no mere abstract theological formula. I have seen it demonstrated in my own experience on many occasions. In this chapter, I will relate four such occasions. Yet to make them effective as illustration, I have chosen situations in which different nations and different political factors were involved. That's the introduction to that chapter. Now, I won't read all of it because we have not come here for newscasting, all right? So, I'll just pick up a few. The first one he described was the war in North Africa during the Second World War. Then, amongst many things, he described how the Allied forces were losing the battle against the Axis forces, all right? That is, then Germany and co. were winning the war against America, of course, this one particular one being headed by the Britons, all right, by the British. Now, he was serving as a British soldier, and he said that they had to retreat almost 1,000 miles, over 1,000 kilometers, all right, because they were losing the war until they got to somewhere in Egypt. He said the main reason why they were continually losing the war, in his own observation, was because the officers were indisciplined. And they were not respected by the soldiers. He said the morale in the camp was generally down. Now, he was brought up as a son of a soldier. His father was a military officer. So he knew how soldiers were meant to behave. Now, these guys were not behaving like that. The officers were not behaving like that. He had just gotten born again in that soldier in during the war. And there was no, let me use one of his words. He said there was no church to confuse him. You understand? So all he had was the Holy Spirit and his Bible. So he learned a lot of things without anybody telling him it doesn't work like this. One of the things he learned was how to pray for this particular situation. He said, during the long and demoralizing retreat to the gates of Cairo, God laid on my heart a burden of prayer, both for British forces in the desert and for the whole situation in the Middle East. He said, yet I could not see how God could bless leadership that was so unworthy and inefficient. He said, I searched in my heart for some form of prayer that I could pray with genuine faith. I think it's important we understand this thing. That's why we took all this time to be teaching along this line. Because a lot of prayer, people that pray don't have genuine faith. One day I was speaking with some, I'm interrupting the reference, but I'll come back to the reference in a moment. I was speaking with some men, and when a committee, I think I even related the experience to us here, and we're talking about Nigeria. I said Nigeria would be a great nation. The man, middle-aged man, looked at me and said, Dr. Oshino, you have faith. I said, I do. They began to tell me why I'm mistaken. I said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it was like a dream. Then we kept on talking. I said, listen, sir, we know, he said, look, the whole society, the whole everything is this. He kept on talking. I said, Ogami, you know, if we get three people, proper people, and put them in proper places, everything can change overnight. He shook his head. I said, it can happen. He said, it can happen. We continued the discussion for a long time while we were waiting for that people in the committee to come for the meeting. The secretary of the committee said, he said, Dr. Olushino, your faith is infective. She made that statement like, the way you are going on, you are infecting me with this, your faith. Now, why am I saying this? The Red Prince said something that he looked for a prayer he could pray with genuine faith. Not like just pray as a habit. People who just pray are not expecting God to do anything. So he said he looked for a prayer he could pray with genuine faith that will cover the needs of the situation. He said after a while, it seemed that the Holy Spirit gave me this prayer. Now listen to it. Now, this is the reason why I spoke a lot of this talk that was putting me into an entanglement earlier on about repetition. Just a short sentence. Listen to it. He said, Lord, give us leaders such that it will be for your glory to give us victory through them. How many words? Don't let me waste time counting. Maybe about 20 words. But a single sentence. I continued praying this prayer every day. Watchmen, do not give yourselves any rest, and don't give him any rest until he establishes Jerusalem as a prison on the earth. Are you following what I'm saying? He said, Lord, give us leaders such that it will be for your glory to give us victory through them. He said, I prayed, like I continued praying this prayer every day. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, in due course, this is the story that happened after. The British government decided to replace the commander of their forces in the desert and to replace him with another man. The man whom they chose was a general named Gott. He was flown to Cairo to take command, but was killed when his plane was shot down. He said, at this critical juncture, the British forces in this major theater of war were left without a commander. Winston Churchill, then Prime Minister of Britain, proceeded to act largely on his own initiative, and he appointed a more or less unknown officer named B.L. Montgomery, who was hastily flown out to Britain. Now, he said this man was the son of an evangelical Anglican bishop. He was a man who was definitely, very definitely fulfilled God's two requirements in a leader of men. He was just and God-fearing. He was also a man of tremendous discipline. Within 2 months, he had instilled a total new sense of discipline to his officers and had thus restored the confidence of the men in their leaders. Then the main battle of El Alamein was fought. It was the first major Allied victory in the entire war up to that time. Now listen, for time's sake, let me jump down. Later on, he heard a reporter report what happened at the commanding headquarters before the battle commenced. He said the man publicly called his officers and men to prayer, saying, let us ask God, mighty in battle, to give us victory. Simple. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is not the concatenation of big words. It's a faith in the heart, passion which the heart is speaking from the heart of faith, a righteous man. Do you understand my point? He said, and this words came through, he heard it through a portable radio, and God spoke very clearly to my spirit, that is the answer to your prayer. He said, the British government chose God for their commander, but God set him aside and raised up Montgomery, the man of his own choosing. Get my point. God can turn around the affairs of men if he gets the proper prayers for the proper quarters. Do you get my point? Not a hasty prayer. What I mean is not a lengthy prayer, but a prayer with purpose, short in words, that a man kept on praying how long? Every day. Let me tell a little story let me just relate something to Nigeria right now. Pardon me to quote Rastafarians, all right? Peter Tosh said something once. Peter Tosh? One of those contemporaries of Bob Marley. He said, everybody is crying out for peace, but nobody is crying out for justice. Now, Bob Marley now said his own, that until a particular philosophy that holds one race superior to another is totally abolished and discredited and abandoned, everywhere there will be war. Now, I chose their words because they said something properly. That we are going to, if you are going to talk about peace, now I don't have time, we'll continue this next time, all right? Even if our time ends for today. We're talking about a nation like Nigeria. Listen, God has a plan for every nation. I will quote prophets because the Bible said, believe also his prophets, so you will prosper. Prophets have said that Nigeria is critical and pivotal in what God is doing on the earth today. Are you getting my point? Elton said it decades ago. I've been hearing Rayon Bonke say it for many years. And then I was listening to a tape by my pastor in Lagos, who I've quoted a number of times, and he was quoting Kenneth Copeland. And they were discussing amongst themselves and not trying to impress anybody. This was on TBN, I think. And they said, he and some other men were talking, and they said, the strongest move of God currently on this earth is happening in Nigeria. Now, they are not Nigerians. Listen, they were not trying to impress Nigerians. They were just talking amongst themselves. He just happened to have heard them talk. Do you follow me? I read something to us from 1 Timothy chapter 2 that said, pray for kings and all those who are in authority that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. Listen, what God wants to do that has to do with prosperity and an advancement of his gospel cannot be done in a position of, how do I say it, where there is a lot of chaos, war, and fighting. Therefore, it is critical to the devil that Nigeria is a chaotic nation. If you look over the whole of Africa, I think Nigeria has been unusually favored by God. We have the most thorough mix of ethnic groups in Africa. Before you drive 200 kilometers, you have crossed about 10 dialect zones. You know, you have time zone. We have language zone. As you are driving, you are just crossing them. Yet, the time we decided to fight a war, after 3 years, it ended and completely ended. Go to the other nations. Is it not strange that Nigeria is one country where you don't have rebels, they are controlling one state? With all the fight, the enmity in their hearts, I think, between the Hausa man, Igbo man, Yoruba man, Shekri man, Ijo man, all those kind of things, at the end of the day, everybody is still subject to the federal government. No, I'm not joking about that. Look, Nigeria is not a smoke. I'm telling you the truth. No, I'm telling you the honest truth. That we are at peace is God's blessing. Do you get my point? But I'm trying to say that the devil would like to scatter us. The reason being that, let me tell you what, it's a fact. Now, this is one thing I know for sure. Maybe second to United States, I don't think anybody spends as much on gospel as we do. Go to Europe now. All the new churches are born out of Nigeria. Go to US there. There are apostles to US who live in Nigeria. I'm serious. I know many of them. They are apostles to United States, but they live in Nigeria. I remember then Anna Yolu Putaifi before he died. They had an Ilo Putaifi Day in one city, maybe in New York, somewhere. The mayor declared an Ilo Putaifi Day because he was an apostle to that zone. I'm telling you the truth. It's not a small nation. So you understand that the devil would like to scatter it. Now, why did I quote Bob Marley and Co. earlier on? In my own understanding and after observing things, I have noticed, and you see, Kingsley might have heard me say the number of times that if I become president for, say, 2 months, what will I do? There are two places I'm going to face. Nigerian police and the Nigerian judicial system. Period. Look, Nepa is not an issue if these two places are working properly. Listen to me. There is nothing else that will not fall into place if these two places are working properly. That's my conviction. I am persuaded about it with all my heart. In fact, I said, I already know people who are appointed ministers, you know, in those areas. I'm telling you the truth. Even if I say that, okay, this man is not a lawyer, so what do I do? I will put, you know, the way the Oga Obasa, the Minister of Petroleum that time, he just put it under the presidency so nobody could talk. So, okay, I'll run everything myself. Then he appointed legal advisors, presidential advisors to run the place. I have people in my mind that I have seen their works in other places. You put them there, they will shake everybody up in one day. Now, what am I going to say? I read this story of Derek Prince to let us know that God is looking for what? People. And even when there are people, he's looking for prayers to use to bring the people to proper places. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, let's come to Derek Prince's passion, for example. He saw what was happening and he was displeased. Let's see God's response to this kind of situation. Isaiah chapter 59. We're talking about Nigeria as a nation. And I want to ponder. Now, we can't finish it today, of course, because I have a target for closing these meetings. Isaiah chapter 59. The other day, Onyekachi and I were gisting, and we're talking about Anambra State and the kind of things that the police, they do there. I was on the express the other day, and the policeman stopped me, checked my papers. They called one man to come and see my paper to see that I had the right paper and the man didn't have it. Why? The stamp, you know, funny, stupid story. I was just irritated. I just getting my papers from the man. I entered my car and left. Trying to, because he wanted some money from the people. When John the Baptist was baptizing for repentance, when the soldiers came to him, equivalent of our police now, They said, what shall we do to be saved? Said, don't collect money from anybody by force, unjustly. Don't do it. Be content with your wages. We don't want to see some things on tape. Maybe we are adjusting later, because later on, I'm happy we've done this series, because I want us to start praying properly for the nation. If we have this in our minds, you will understand that it is not all-night prayer we are looking for, but persistent prayer. Even if it's 15 minutes, we do it every day. Even if it's 5 minutes, we have something that we are running after. Are you getting the point I'm making? What did God say about when there is no justice? Verse 9. He said, therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. Isaiah 59, verse 9. As a consequence, we hope for light, but behold darkness, for brightness, but we walk in gloom. Let me run down to verse 14. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. What's the next line? Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Let me stop there. Every time you see oppression, policeman comes, gather some boys, what are you doing around? This is our house. No, it's not your house. Enter the vehicle, lock you up, bail yourself with 2,000 naira. Every time you see that, Bible says that the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight. One prayer point, having taken instruction from the Red Prince and from the Word of God, that I would like us to pray, maybe not, well, we might pray today if we have time, but it will become our habit, is God, give us leaders and men in authority so that by their hands you can establish righteousness, punish iniquity, and reward righteousness. Yeah, something as simple as that. So that when you say it, it's with passion. Onyekachukwu, you personally feel what goes on. I'm not brassy, you are from there. If you every day will say a short prayer, God, give us a commissioner of police that will stop this nonsense, it will end in a short while. I mean, we're not talking about national now, but just in that state, that this is wickedness, because there's something here and I were discussing earlier, beyond the natural. This is not good. And out of that, just say, God, I ask you in the name of Jesus, establish righteousness amongst policemen in this state. Give what? Look, God says, what am I looking for? He said he saw that there was no commissioner of police that was thinking straight. Is that not what he read here? Not man. One man is looking for. Proper praying. I keep on saying this. As far as I'm concerned, the worst days in Nigeria have passed. I'm serious. I know why I'm saying that. Because I remember years ago, when I just look back now, I know that I never felt bad because I had so much faith. No, really. Bishop Wedekpo, I used to listen to him so much that time that I couldn't feel bad about anything. It was hard. But let me just take telecommunications as an example. Do you know, just a simple policy, that was what, you know, government in Nigeria didn't spend a dime on this freedom to make calls that we all have now. Nigerian government didn't spend any money. All they just did was that, okay, who wants to do GSMO? How much do you pay for us to give you a license? The guy said, at the end of the day, four of us will give you $285 million each. It's all right, bring the money. They collected the money, yeah, go and do it. Now, Glo Line is going for how much? 1 naira a line. For your information, that's not the first GSM company that came, not this one. The first one that came to Nigeria, Celia. Motophone. They introduced the same lines as 75,000 naira almost 6 years ago. No, 7 years ago. 75,000 naira for a line. I have a friend who used to work there. Stay with me for a while. He works in MTN now. Line that you're buying for 1 naira now. What caused the change? Simple policy change. Why am I telling all these stories? So that you can pray with genuine faith, knowing that God can do it. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
Listen, petrol is costly. NLC, we have to pray about that. I don't know who is right, whether it's the federal government or NLC, but nobody is scattering this nation for me. Do you understand what I'm going to say? We'll pray about that before we go. Say NLC is supposed to start strike on Monday or something. I'm not saying the strike will hold or it will not hold. I don't know details. But God will give us peace in this situation so that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. Do you understand what I'm going to say? So that we can continue to prosper, so that the progress toward prosperity will not be turned back. You are learning how to pray simply. That was why I went through everything I said. To get that point across to you, that you don't need big grammar. Thou most holy, magnificent, and incredible, and all-wise, and all-knowing. God said, finish describing me, and let me know what the problem is. There are times you would praise God from the bottom of your heart. You understand my point? And God will know it's out of gratitude. A friend of mine called me the other day, and he said, in fact, he told me that one of the guy, he has all our tapes, every single one. Anyone he doesn't have is because we have not yet produced and given it to him. I'm sure he's hearing this now. He will be hearing what I'm saying now in a few weeks, this time. He said one of the greatest tapes he ever listened to that I preached is that one where I said that you can praise God who made you Peter, but that I feel more righteous when I'm thanking God that my son has teeth, you know. Because I can feel that one. Jupiter, I can't. If God didn't make, there are many planets he did not make that I'm not aware of. Do you understand the point I'm making? It's only the ones he made that I'm aware of. Maybe change his mind that no, the angels wouldn't like to, they won't like to fly across this constellation of stars, so let's go and put it on the other side. Are you aware? You don't know. But if he doesn't give me any child and doesn't give me plenty of them, every day, I won't give him rest, though. I won't give him rest. You will not go until you have blessed me. As I will grab him every day. Are you getting my point? The guy said, that was one tape. I don't know which of the tapes we preached that message in. That, in fact, the day was listening to it, he phoned me instantly and was screaming, wow, that this tape is the very tape. Okay, what do you believe? Okay, thank you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Please. That's why we have gone through all this, because you know that God can do it. And he's been waiting for people to arrive at this situation that they will say, because, you know, sometimes, oh, poor God, you know what I'm going to say? We have harassed him too much. People want to come and pray for something. Abraham's blessing in our mind, we'll do that for the first 1 hour. It's an all-night prayer. You know, it's an all-night prayer. So we calculate, we have to pray, praise God for 1 hour. And then all the praise are jams anyway. We're just feeling cool, warming up for when the real prayer will start. The whole thing, we could have done it in 10 minutes and left the place. Some of the greatest prayers that I've seen effect to, that I've been involved in, were the shortest. I'm serious. Prayers that you will pray and people will go and see the result and come back rejoicing, will have finished it maybe about 10 minutes. Why? Because our desire was pointed. We knew what we wanted. We knew the basis upon we were asking for it, and we just asked for it. And it was us, the priests of God. You know what I mean? Not noisemakers. People who really had faith in God. Next time, I'll read more from Derek Prince for us. But I hope that we have gotten something that God is preparing people, by virtue of the words they are hearing, to say things directly to the point and persistently say it. Because, like I explained to us last time, those words are, in my own understanding, or my own, let me say, feeling, yes, that would be better, are the strengths that the angels are using to break through the barriers that were any hindrance that might be in the heavens to bring our answers to us. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, next time I'll read some more about Derek Prince, from Derek Prince. He talked about how the Stalin's era, how it ended. He heard that Stalin was preparing to systematically exterminate the Jews in Russia. And they began to pray. He said, well, the time they finished prayer, it was a short prayer. Nobody felt anything. They didn't feel any guru in their body. But shortly after, they heard that Stalin was dead. He was not sick. You know, remember, there's one song I like. You go and watch it. Now, this is not a spiritual song, all right? It's in Lion King. When they were singing, be prepared, the hyena said, be prepared for what? The bad lion said, for the death of the king. They said, is he sick? He said, no, we're going to kill him. That was what happened to Stalin. The Prince and Co prayed,
The angel said, be prepared. They said, for what? Said, for the death of Stalin. Is he sick? No, the man was not sick. He just bled in the... They said he died from cerebral hemorrhage. Suddenly, one day, he just bled in the head and he died. As a result of the prayer that a few people who had passion for what they were praying about, who had the say in God's presence, and who just said what they wanted. Do you get the point I'm making? It's important we understand that. It's not big words. There are so many things. Oh, God. Time has really, really gone today. So I will stop now. But next time we'll continue from here. We'll definitely continue from here. I don't think we can go anywhere else until we have done this. All right. Let us pray. I want us to just pray shortly for a few minutes.